This particular episode is dedicated to Carl Garner Jr. You may recall that Carl Garner Jr. was the student of a listener named Eric Little in Kentucky, who gained some attention for writing an essay about why a hot dog is not a sandwich. He unfortunately, we learned, died due to gun violence in Kentucky. I just learned about it today. You can read about it by searching his name, Carl Garner Jr. There's an article about it in the Kentucky Herald Leader. It's a very sad situation. I don't have very many details. And Eric Little has promised to help us create some opportunity for you to express your sympathies if you wish to. And as soon as we have those details, I will let you know. But in the meantime, I just wanted to say thank you to Carl and his family. We are thinking of you, and we're very sorry for this loss.
Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. This week, Duplo Jeopardy. Caleb brings the case against his friend Ryan. Caleb's ready to get rid of his Lego collection. Ryan thinks he should keep it in storage. Ryan says even though Caleb thinks he's ready to let it go, he'll later regret parting with these sets. Who's right? Who's wrong? Only one man can decide. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom and presents an obscure cultural reference.
Meet the hot dog vendor, elf maiden, butterfly girl, circus strongman, veterinarian, battle dwarf, dance instructor, gourmet chef, connoisseur, corn cob guy, Roman gladiator, rocket boy, pro surfer, retro space hero, the yuppie, the internet judge, and the bailiff, a.k.a. corn cob guy. Corn cob guy, swear them in.
Please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God or whatever.
I do.
I do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that he is the last remaining nerd celebrity not to have been rendered life-size in Lego?
I do.
Yes.
Very well. Judge Hodgman?
Ryan and Caleb, you may be seated. I was distracted there for a moment because I'm sending my bailiff, Jesse Thorne, an important piece of photographic evidence that we will discuss in a moment. But for an immediate summary in one of yours favors, can either of you name the piece of culture that I referenced as I entered the courtroom? I don't know. Caleb, you go first.
Unfortunately for Ryan, or fortunately for Ryan, since I'm speaking first, I do know the cultural reference.
No.
You are referencing one of the collectible Lego minifig sets. Now, I don't know which one it is because I've lost track of them. There have been, I think, something like 15 or 16 sets. But you are referencing.
I'm trying to get this all down so I can get it right in the guest book.
Oh, sorry.
Minifig
okay.
Sets. And did you say you did or you did not know which series it was?
I don't know. I think it might be series 15, but that's really just a guess.
All right. I'm putting that in the guest book, and I'm not making any audio expression of whether that's right or wrong or expressing frustration in any way. I'm just putting in the guest book. And now turning to Ryan. Ryan, if he has guessed correctly, then he wins the case. If you make the same guess and it's correct, then we go forward. Or if you think he's wrong and you have another guess, you may guess it. So what's your guess going to be?
I'd like you to put me down for a ditto and then add number 12. We're going to go with set 12 of whatever it was that Caleb just said.
Set. All right. So you're putting in Lego.
Yeah.
Minifigure series number 12.
That sounds exactly right. Yeah. All I got a good feeling about this.
Well, it pains me to say. No, it doesn't pay me at all. All guesses are wrong. You're both wrong. I got lucky this time because that, the hot dog vendor, elf maiden, butterfly girl, circus strongman, veterinarian, battle dwarf, dance instructor, gourmet chef, connoisseur, corn cob guy, Roman gladiator, rocket boy, pro surfer, retro space hero, and yuppie are all part of Lego minifigure series number 17, the most recent one. Whew. Boy, I escaped by the skin of my yellow plastic molded injection teeth. So this comes down to Lego. We can hear this argument now. Jesse Thorne, the piece of evidence that I was forwarding to you via a textual message is the link to Series 17. We'll post this link on the show page at MaximumFun.org. Of course, I'm not sure that we can use this image on our Instagram account, which, of course, is Judge John Hodgman. You should go and check it out and follow it for pictures of amusing dogs and weird spaces. I'm not sure we can link to this picture because it's proprietary to the very, very popular Danish company known as Lego. But please, everyone, do check out Corn Cob Guy from Series 17. On the one hand, it's just... Did you find it?
What is this? Why is this? What is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, Lego brand interlocking bricks and mini figurines have been bringing joy to the entire globe for well over half a century. And the joy that they bring sounds like Jesse Thorne laughing at Corn Cob Guy. He is a guy. He's not made of corn. He is plainly wearing a costume of a corn cob. And he's got a tremendous mustache. And if they had only put some glasses on him, it would have been a pretty good Judge John Hodgman dressed as a corn cob minifig. All right, everybody. There's a lot to talk about here because Caleb's got a Lego collection that he's trying to dump, and Ryan doesn't want him to dump it. And when I heard of this case, I said, I will only hear this case if we may bring in an expert witness. And we are joined in this courtroom by a friend and fellow child of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, a person named Seth Mnookin. Now, you've probably heard Seth's name before. He is a journalist. Still a contributing editor at Vanity Fair or formerly contributing editor at Vanity Fair, Seth?
Still a contributing editor at Vanity Fair, but I wait every day for the missive saying that that has ended.
So at the moment, contributing editor at Vanity Fair and author of multiple best-selling books of nonfiction, including Feeding the Monster, which is about Boston area sports franchise, the Boston Red Sox, and most recently The Panic Virus, about the anti-vaccination movement and parents who didn't vaccinate their kids and then their kids got sick. What a surprise. He's currently a professor of comparative media studies and writing at MIT and the director of MIT's graduate program in science writing. He is a former attendee of Newton North or Newton South High School.
Newton North, home of the Tigers.
And which one does Brookline High School dislike?
Newton North. Although, yes, Newton North. The rivalry is between Newton North and Brookline High.
Well, here I say let's make peace.
I agree.
So that we can talk about Lego, because not only is he accomplished in all of these different ways and a really talented writer and lovely guy, but also what is called an adult fan of Lego. Is that correct?
Yes, an AFOL.
No, is that really what they say in Lego circles?
That is the acronym, AFOL, yes.
Well, thank you. So tell me a little bit, before we get into Caleb's hobby, tell me a little bit of your Lego fascination and your current collecting status.
So I actually did not play with Lego as a child. My fascination began about 5 years ago when I bought an R2-D2 set to build with my then 3-year-old son. And when the box arrived, it said it was for ages 16 and up. And I had no idea that there were Lego sets only for ages 16 and up. So I started to build that and found that it is an incredible outlet for people who are obsessive and compulsive. And since then have spent many thousands of dollars on Lego for a pretty considerable period of time, tried to convince my wife that this was actually an investment and bought two of every set that I purchased, one that we would keep in the attic and sell at a future date when Lego stopped, no longer manufactured them. That has not proven as of yet to be a very wise move.
Caleb, you are a Lego collector. What is your status as a collector?
I'd say the biggest difference between Seth and I in terms of Lego collection is that I was a child fan of Lego. One of my fondest memories
a couple.
We just call them kids.
Oh.
Since, you know, most kids love Lego, at least, especially sure. These days.
Of course.
one of my fondest memories of my now deceased maternal grandfather was building my first Lego set with him at his kitchen table when I was probably 4 or 5 years old.
And going back then, it probably was a Blade Runner playset, right? Lego, right? The Lego Bradbury building.
Yes.
That would be an incredible set.
I know, right? I just said that, and I realized that's an amazing set. Yes. That doesn't exist, does it, Seth Mnookin?
No, it does not, but I would pay a lot of money for that.
No, back then you were just playing with raw bricks, right, Caleb?
No, they did. Lego had started its own themes at that point. So oh, right. My first set was a space theme.
Those little space dudes.
Exactly, with the little swooshing spaceship that went around the little planet on their chests.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it had batteries, and it had lights that lit up. It was a great set. But it was very square, so.
Yeah. Do you still have that set?
No, I still have maybe like 4 or 5 pieces from it. They are ancient and deformed, and they've just been played with so much that I don't think that they even snap together anymore.
You wore them down? You wore out the nubs?
I did. We usually call them studs in the AFOL community.
Are you an AFOL? Or just a C-fall?
I think of myself as a recovering A-fall in the same way that one might consider oneself a recovering alcoholic in that I don't know if you ever get it out of your system completely.
Right.
But I did have a period of time between childhood and adulthood where I didn't play with little plastic bricks. A-falls usually refer to that period as their dark age. There's really is a whole lexicon of terminology that's been popularized on the internet among AFOLs.
The dark age meaning the period of maturity where you're not playing with toys all the time?
Exactly.
I see. I love Lego. I would sit and play with Lego all the time right now. So AFOLs, don't get all mad at me on Twitter or anything. When did your dark age end and what brought you into your new enlightened time as an AFOL? And then we'll get to the next stage where you're kind of going to put it behind you again, if you have your way.
Absolutely. It was 2006. I was in my last year of my undergraduate degree. Mm-hmm. I was living with a roommate in an apartment in my hometown of Ottawa, Ontario, which is also where I went to university and where Ryan and I met.
The capital of Canada.
That is absolutely correct.
CanCap.
Our nation's capital.
Mm-hmm. And so you guys met in university in Ottawa. All right, go on. And you and your roommate started throwing some bricks together and one thing led to another and you were addicted again.
Well, it turned out that I had just happened to see a photograph of an original model by an AFOL named Chris Giddens, who had built this massive spaceship out of Lego. It was an original creation of his and it just blew me away. And I thought, I can't believe that there are people building things this incredible. I mean, it took thousands of pieces. It was far bigger than any sort of official set at the time. And I thought, I loved Lego as a kid. I bet I could build something like that. So I went over to my parents' place and I dug out my Lego collection and I took it home with me and tried to build something even close to that scale and absolutely couldn't. And so I started buying Lego again.
And you were trying to freehand something in the Chris Giddens Master Builder way. Is that correct?
Yeah. Right. So there are lots of different kinds of AFOLs. There are collectors and there are builders. And I generally would have considered myself a builder. I was more interested in building my own. Well, they call them my own creation or mock for short.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do they know that moccasins exist? They already have the lock on that nickname? Mock's got a lock on Mock?
I don't know if the community All knows right. that. No.
No, okay. No.
I think it rocks.
Because one thing Lego fans have to be fans of is protective footwear.
That's absolutely correct.
A moccasin, a soft-soled moccasin, is designed so that you can feel the texture of the ground below you. So I would be sure that most Lego people would not know what a moccasin is.
At what point did Legos become about building the thing on a box and the thing is like a Batman?
Well, that's a trick question because there is no such thing as Legos, plural.
Thank you, Seth.
Oh, my God.
There are only Lego bricks.
I was being nice.
Well, that'll show you, Jesse.
Let's take a quick break and hear about some of the other great shows from MaximumFun.org.
Hello, I'm your Judge John Hodgman. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is brought to you every week by you, our members, of course. Thank you so much for your support of this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts at MaximumFun.org, and they are all your favorites. If you want to join the many member supporters of this podcast and this network, boy, oh boy, that would be fantastic. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Made In.
Oh, when you're trying to buy cookware, it's like there's so many questions, so many choices, so many pros and cons. But you should know, Made In has only pros. Pros like Tom Colicchio, Nancy Silverton, Brooke Williamson. That's right, I changed the meaning of pro from good things to professionals who use Made In, because they do. Professional chefs love Made In cookware because it's got so many pros.
Can I tell you something about Nancy Silverton, one of the Made In pros?
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
My friend used to work for Nancy Silverton, or one of her restaurants, and not only did she adore Nancy Silverton, but Nancy Silverton personally catered her wedding.
That's a real pro move, if you ask me.
Yeah, just like getting Made In cookware. These are people with taste, if you get my double meaning.
I do.
This isn't a Johnny-come-lately company. This evolved from a 100-year-old kitchen supply business. And they work with multi-generational crafters to put together every single piece. So includes carbon steel, stainless clad, plateware, glassware. I know, John, you love all that stuff that you have in your cabinet.
Yeah, I got the glassware. I got the plateware. And I definitely love that carbon steel. And I love their stainless steel. It's got exactly what demanding chefs and I dare say demanding judges look for when they're buying cookware.
And you don't have to find a kitchen supply store. They sell it online. It's delivered straight to your door with the quality that the pros use.
And can I just say, it's at a fraction of the price of other top brands. That's for real. This is really good stuff, and it's really affordable. And yet, as affordable as it is, I'm going to tell you this. Judge John Hodgman listeners get 10% off full-priced items from Made In. For full details, visit madeincookware.com/JJHO10. That's madeincookware.com/JJHO10.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by the good folks over there at Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. All in one place, all on your terms. Time, Jesse.
Have you heard about this Squarespace Blueprint?
No. Tell me all about it.
Squarespace Blueprint lets you choose from a professional layout and build a website for your product or your service or your creations from the ground up. You can accept payments, including Apple Pay, among other things. It is all seamless and easy and comes out gorgeous, whether or not you went into it with big time skills. That's what Squarespace is all about, helping you express yourself and helping you share your work with the world.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/Hodgman to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Welcome back to the court of Judge John Hodgman. Let's get back to the case of Caleb, Ryan, and the Legos.
Okay, Ryan. You are a college friend of Caleb's. Do you still live in Ottawa, or where do you live?
Now I'm currently living in Potsdam, New York.
All right. What do you do there?
I've got a few jobs. Mostly I am a middle school teacher out here.
Well done.
Nice. Teach seventh grade social studies. I run a small software company out here. We make video games.
And your beef with Caleb is what?
I don't know if it's my beef so much as society's beef. I don't want to make this personal. It's not. I am petitioning the court, Your Honor, to compel Caleb to see reason here. Caleb has what we would call a mercurial personality. He tends to change his mind very rapidly, and he's looking to make a very rash decision about something that I think we can all agree has brought him a great deal of joy in his life.
And that decision is specifically?
He wants to get rid of his Legos. He wants to sell them. And my argument here is that this is something that he will regret.
And so, Caleb, you want to sell what Legos you have?
I do.
You're going to go 100% brick free? Sell them all?
I might keep like a handful of minifigs that have a little bit of sentimental value. Like when the Lord of the Rings sets were coming out, I managed to collect the entire Fellowship of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
So I might keep those. There's like a little minifig that I made that sort of looks like me that I'd like to keep.
You modded out a minifig to look like Caleb?
I didn't personally mod it out. There are people in the AFOL community who like re-sculpt plastics. Mm-hmm. I just picked pieces that I thought sort of looked like a face that sort of looked like me, and hair that sort of looked like my haircut at the time, and put them together.
What are the re-sculptors called?
I think they're called customizers, but they don't have a fun acronym, unfortunately.
Seth, can we get a ruling?
Yeah, I think customizer, that's the only thing I've ever heard. I do have one question. Caleb, are you yellow?
No, I picked a flesh-colored.
You mean Caucasian flesh-colored?
Yes. Well, that's the other thing is the Lego company calls it flesh-colored. That's actually something that that there's been a bit of debate about in the community.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no debate. They're wrong.
Oh, I agree.
I have full confidence a wonderful inclusive company like Lego will come around to understanding why that
Lego, I will say Lego has been doing much better recently with ethnic diversity and picking licenses that have people of color represented. Like there's some great new Thor themed sets that have
people of color. Newsflash, Thor is white. Sorry, did you not know that?
True, but the cinematic universe Valkyrie is black.
Yep.
And she has a minifig.
And Heimdall, I presume, Idris Elba is represented in minifig, I hope.
I don't think they have one.
What?
But I'm not that familiar with all the new sets. I really have been sort of out of the loop.
He did have one for The Wire, though, right?
Yeah.
those sets were sold very quickly.
Oh, my goodness.
There are a number of Moana sets that have been released, and Lego has also been, I think it was last year for the first time, they had someone in a wheelchair, someone with a disability, which was a big, something that AFOLs and other Lego fans had been advocating for some time.
Was it Professor X or was it a non-licensed character?
It was a non-licensed character. It was just a scene in a park with a bunch of people, including a very frazzled father.
Well, finally, weird dads are getting representation.
Exactly.
Minifigs.
He was wearing plaid. Caleb, I have a quick question. How big a set are we talking about here? Or how big a collection?
It's about 42 pounds. Or 19 kilograms.
Is that the standard measurement for Lego collection size?
Well, no. I mean, the problem is that because I did a lot of trading and a lot of selling and buying of individual pieces over the years, it's really hard to say like how many complete sets I have. In fact, I don't think in my collection you'd find the pieces to make any single complete set anymore.
And my pound to piece conversion, I don't have that at my fingertips. So roughly how many pieces would that be?
It's really difficult for me to estimate that. I can tell you that it fills 4 medium-sized duffel bags.
Okay.
Can I offer you a possible estimation? You can just tell me whether it makes sense to you.
Sure.
Is that about many pieces?
It's many pieces, but it's not very many pieces in comparison to the collections of some of the other enthusiasts that I've spent time with.
Possibly still too many pieces, though.
I think for if I were a child, it would be a sizable and impressive collection. Among the AFOL community, it's pretty paltry.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, when you say Phil's four duffel bags, like you have them in duffel bags right now, ready to go, ready to toss in a lake, like bodies that you're trying to get rid of.
It's true. I do have them. They've been stored that way at this point for a little bit more than a year.
When was the last time you played with them?
I think it was sometime probably in the middle of 2016.
And what was the turnaround? Why did you put Childish Things away? And why do you want to get rid of them now?
The major contributor was just the realization that I was never going to have the collection that I wanted. I mean, collecting Lego is a great hobby if you're, say, a deranged millionaire. But I have to admit, as a perennial graduate student, underemployed, freelance editor, even when I worked in mainstream trade publishing in Toronto here in Canada, it just wasn't in my budget. I wanted to have thousands and thousands of pieces. I wanted to be able to build amazing dioramas and it just, you know, I just realized that it wasn't feasible and it wasn't fun to build with the limited pieces that I had. You know, I always wanted more.
Wow. See, because I had presumed that this was all going to be about, you know, you had mentioned before, like being someone who no longer played with Lego was like being a recovered alcoholic. You could never really get away from it. It seemed like you were maybe moving into sort of an addiction paradigm where somehow this was taking up too much of your life or too much of your money and you needed to put it aside to become a grown-up, or you simply decided you didn't want it anymore. But this is truly a giving up of a dream.
I guess so. It's also sort of a realization of my own limitations. I think the addiction side of it is when I was building most consistently, I'd walk down the street and I'd see a car and I'd be like, oh, I know what pieces to build that car out of. And that's not necessarily a good way to look at the world.
Why? That's how car makers look at the world.
That's definitely how I looked at Fields of Lavender when I was playing Skyrim all the time.
I think that's a sentiment that both Ryan and I can agree with.
Look, I'm a guy who, when I played video games, I would fall asleep and see Command and Conquer maps on the inside of my eyelids. I can appreciate that, how it can take over. But I think looking at a car and thinking, oh, I know what bricks I could use to make that car, that doesn't sound intrinsically bad. How is it affecting your life in a negative way?
It was taking up an inordinate amount of my mental space. I have a lot of hobbies. I have a lot of interests.
What are your other hobbies and interests?
I love drawing. I love art in general.
Waste of
I
time.
Love video games.
Waste of time.
I played Skyrim like crazy.
Pandering noted.
Okay. I enjoy tabletop games like Dungeons and Dragons and Warhammer 40,000.
All of these are waste of time. The only thing that matters is Lego.
What did you build out of Lego, or attempt to build out of Lego, that was so grand that four duffel bags of Legos was not enough?
I really wanted to build a sort of kitchen table sized diorama of a cyberpunk dystopian neighborhood.
Of your own design?
Yes.
A Blade Runner set.
Exactly.
Wow.
Oh, this, for a thing that is hard to make circles with, everything is coming full circle in this one. I love it. So how many pieces would you say you are shy of that Blade Runner set? How many more duffel bags would you need to get that thing done?
I'd need to probably triple the number of pieces that I have.
12 duffel bags. And what do you estimate the cost of the brick accumulation to do that?
I think it would be in the order of possibly tens of thousands of dollars, depending on where I'd source them and how I'd procure them.
So how much are you planning on selling your four duffel bags for?
Originally,
looking at his bank account.
Originally, I wanted to sell to a fellow AFOL for about $1,000. But I found that people didn't really want to buy a full collection. They just wanted to pick and choose. So at the moment, I don't know, maybe $500. And that's Canadian money, too. So,
wait a minute. You're saying the AFOLs didn't want these four bags of loose bricks? I'm not sure I understand. I would imagine that the collectible stuff, the stuff you would get real money for, would be what's in Seth Mnookin's attic, these unopened full sets, right? What am I missing, Seth?
No, yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, the other thing that you can get money for is individual rare pieces, either rare because it's a color that piece was not produced in great quantity, or because it's a piece that was not produced in great quantity, but is crucial for some building.
Yeah, I've been trying to get the cocaine brick from The Wire for
exactly
years.
Caleb, is storage an issue for you? Do you have a limited amount of space where you're living?
Yeah, that's the other issue is, as a builder, as someone who likes to build their own models, you really need to have your collection sorted by shape, by color, and that takes up a lot of space, and it's expensive to invest in storage of that kind. So on top of buying the bricks, I was looking at buying tons and tons of those little drawer sets that you put hardware in.
Yeah, I know. I have those.
Exactly. I have friends in the AFOL community who have entire rooms dedicated to Lego where the walls are just covered in those sets of drawers.
But and, Ryan is not saying that he wants you to keep them organized. He's just saying he wants you to keep them. Just the four duffel bags, if you just put those in a corner somewhere, would those take up a significant proportion of your current living area?
At the moment, they're sitting in the top of my closet, so no.
Okay.
A couple of questions. Caleb, do you rent or own your apartment?
I rent my apartment.
Yeah. Do you foresee a time in the near future where you will own an apartment or a home to which you can devote a Lego room?
I do not. My partner is also in academia. She's currently a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Calgary here in Calgary. You know, another part of that is that academic lifestyle. You have to be mobile today, and Lego is not a mobile hobby.
Right. You can't drive around in a Lego car you built yourself.
As far as I know, no.
Yet.
I am pretty sure someone is driven around in a Lego car they built themselves. Please do not at us.
Ryan, why is this any of your business? I mean, you've listened to your friend. He's clearly reached a point in his life where he's like, you know what? I'm in my 30s now. It's time for me to admit failure and throw this junk away, because I'll never be able to build my Blade Runner cityscape because I just won't ever have the money. Why won't you allow him this ritual of growth / throwing away his dreams?
I respect the ritual. I do. I do respect the ritual. But I want to be clear here. This is not a case of my intervening in his choice. This is a question of him approaching me and saying, I'm thinking about getting rid of my Legos. And my response is, are you looking for advice or sympathy? And he says he's looking mostly for sympathy. And I say, okay, well, for what it's worth, I don't.
So here's my
anyway.
Advice.
So here's the advice that you didn't ask for. I don't think it's a great idea. I can't stop you. I'm not going to stop you. This is ultimately going to be his choice, but I don't think it's the right one.
We know it's his choice. You tell him. I know that you don't think it's the right decision. We also know it's his choice. You have your chance to give him the advice.
Yes.
Give him the advice. Tell him why he'd be making a mistake.
You're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. This is something that immediately after you do it, it could be a month, it could be 2 months, you're going to say, man, I wish I didn't do it. Man, I really want to play with those Legos.
Is there a precedent in Caleb's life for making a dramatic gesture of this kind that he then regrets?
There are significant precedents. There's a number.
Let me hear the precedents.
All right, let's start. 2009, Caleb says to his friends, I really want to get into playing World of Warcraft. And so we say, okay, Caleb, let's do it. Let's play this game together. And a few months will go by, and he'll say, you know what, it's just, it's too much pressure, it's too much stress, I'm too hooked to it, I gotta quit. Which means we all gotta quit, because we were really playing it to enjoy just spending time with Caleb. And then a few months will go by, and he will say, actually, you know what, I really want to go back into it. Come on, guys, let's do it. Let's just get back into World of Warcraft. And we'll look at each other and say, we literally just quit because of you. And we'll do this again. And then one day he'll say, look, I really want to get a game of Dungeons and Dragons together. And for months, we'll get emails from him with all of his plans. Make sure you plan this. Make sure you set this up. Make sure you meet us at this time. Let's test this out. See if it works. He'll play a game, at most one game. And then that will come that email that we're all waiting for that says, yeah, I'm going to live with you guys. I'm just not feeling it. Not feeling it anymore. I think I want to do something else. And then a year will go by, or 2 years, and he'll want to go back and start it again. And then he'll play one game, and then he'll quit. We played with miniatures. He wanted to play a tabletop miniatures game, and he convinced me to get into it. And I was fully invested. And he says, look, I have a miniatures set. I'm going to sell it to you for $400, and you can paint it and set it up and do everything you want. And I said, let's go for it. Let's do it. So I gave him $400. And we were going to play these elaborate games with these tabletop miniatures. And we played one game. We got one game, maybe two at most. And he said, yeah, not into them anymore.
I think I see what you very clearly established in masterfully Canadian barrister's fashion. That you're both nerds.
Yeah.
of the highest order. That Caleb is particularly indecisive, and also Caleb owes you $400. But this could be a moment of real turnaround for Caleb. This could be a new step. He's talking about really putting this behind him and acknowledging that childish things are behind him. Do you distrust him to follow through on this step, or do you think he's going to start sneaking around buying Lego on the DL after he throws this stuff in the lake?
I think we've been sold a line here when he says the reason why I'm quitting is because I'll never get the collection that I really dreamed of getting. That collection has been providing him joy from 2006 up until 2016, he said. We've got 7 years of him being happy with those Legos, and yet that Lego collection had not received its fullest completion. He
Ryan,
was
do you,
happy.
Do you teach math?
Social studies.
Social studies. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Good. Okay. So my math is off. Even longer.
Ryan has accused you of lying about your feeling that you can never create the thing you want to create with Lego, and therefore you want to put it away and move on.
Yes.
Are you lying, Caleb?
No. That's a big part of it, was just the realization that I'm never going to have the collection I want. The other element was in 2016, I got a dog. And dog ownership and Lego ownership are also not conducive to one another.
Because dogs eat Legos and then bad things happen.
Exactly. And then thousands of dollars worth of vet bills later.
Yeah. Thousands of dollars you could have invested in loose bricks off the internet.
Has your dog eaten any Lego? Because we have a dog who has coexisted quite happily with our Lego here at home.
She only had one opportunity and she took it. She didn't manage to swallow any of the Lego, but it was definitely fished out of her mouth.
Why did you cover the Lego in peanut butter?
It helps the brick stick together.
Got it.
Do I have this right? Caleb, did you bring this case against Ryan?
I did.
So that makes it sound to me like you want to be talked out of this, because you could have just gotten rid of them and that would have been that.
Thank you,
Your
Honor.
You're asking for a public airing of this in a form in which you will be compelled to go along with the decision, even if it's against what you say or your wishes.
There's definitely a subconscious desire to have an authority like Judge John Hodgman tell me to do it. But it's also about Ryan is the person that I go to when I'm conflicted, or when I have a big decision to make, or if I'm feeling down about something. You know, I will pick up the phone or open up Skype and give him a call and say, Ryan, you know, I'm feeling this way. Can you give me some advice? Can you give me a shoulder to sigh on, I guess? He's a really important part of my support network. And I know that if I sell the Lego and I have any kind of regrets, he's going to be one of the people that I go to, and he's going to be like, oh God, Caleb, I told you so.
Look, first of all, let's just clarify. You're not selling this Lego. No one's going to buy your loose duffel bags of used bricks. It's going to be like a tenth of a penny per brick is what you're going to get for this. You're throwing it away.
You might have a hard time selling them. You definitely can donate them to me and my family. Oh.
I was thinking about ordering you to donate all that crud you have up in the attic.
Wow, what?
So that Caleb could finally fulfill his dreaming of electric sheep.
Oh no. This has gone horribly wrong very quickly.
So I think I've heard enough in order to make my verdict, but Seth, I want to turn to you for a second here. You know, one of the things I have to consider is, where is the more mentally healthy place for Caleb to be? You've heard the same evidence that I've heard, the same allegations and the same admissions about his sort of serial compulsion to get into a thing and then get out of it, and his rather plaintive admission that he feels his dream cannot come true, that he feels intrusive thoughts about replicating cars in Lego and that sort of thing. I didn't imagine that we would necessarily go here, but it's part of the public, your public life, that,
right,
that you struggled with addiction, and that to some degree, Lego has become a different kind of addiction for you. What is your profile of Caleb? And if you had to suggest, where do you think he would be healthier, with or without Lego?
Well, it doesn't sound like the duffel bags in his closet are like he's white knuckling it not to take those out every day. It sounds as if he's been able to go through the last several years or year and a half, whatever it is, without feeling particularly tempted or upset by the fact that he has all of that Lego up there. So I guess my feeling was that if this was causing him active distress, then I would support him getting rid of it. I'm not as
like real life deterioration.
Yeah, or just even if it was, you know, if it was causing him stress in his relationship, if he was spending time that he felt like he should be spending on his work thinking about it. My concern is not so much that he'll decide he wants to build the entirety of the Blade Runner, either the original or 2049 set, but that there will come a point where he has children and he will be faced with enormous regret that he has deprived them of the ability to make their own creations with what sounds like a pretty extensive set of bricks.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Seth Mnookin of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or MIT, as we say, in AFL circles.
The AFL circles call it MIT.
Yeah, that's right. I have spent this entire time half listening to you because I've been constructing my own chambers out of Lego. I'm going to go into it. I'll be back in a moment with my verdict.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Caleb, you brought the case. How are you feeling right now?
Not great. I think Ryan has the stronger argument. He's the better debater. The expert witness, Seth, is definitely on the pro-Lego camp, or in the pro-Lego camp. So I don't like my chances.
Ryan, how do you feel?
Feeling pretty strong. I think that when we frame this as something that's an addiction, it weakens my argument, but I don't think that anyone really believes that this is addiction that we're dealing with here.
More like that, compulsion, right?
Yeah, and I think that this is I think that belittles the power of addiction. This is more just somebody who thinks he might want to clear a little space in the attic, but there's more space in that attic than we've given him credit for.
We'll see what Judge John Hodgman has to say about all this when we come back in just a second.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom and presents his verdict.
Lego are amazing, and I'm working really hard not to say Legos. Lego are amazing. And obviously, they click into a level of creativity that has beguiled imaginations for many generations now. And for those who are true master builders, what they can make out of Lego is incredible. Caleb, you mentioned Chris Giddens. I have met and seen the work of an incredible Lego artist named Nathan Sawaya, who was on the Jonathan Colton cruise and presented Jonathan Colton with a full-sized Lego Jonathan Colton, which Wow. now sits in Jonathan Colton's living room. And every time I go into that living room, it scares a living Lego out of me.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't just sit in his living room. It also haunts my dreams.
Yeah, it's super, super terrifying. And not even because it's particularly lifelike. It's pretty good, but it's in that uncanny valley. But it's a whole plastic human. Lego is powerful and can exert a powerful hold over someone. And my first, as I mentioned in the run-up to this, my first question was, is this a hobby, a fascination, a compulsion that is healthy for you, Caleb, or not healthy for you? And whether getting rid of them was a positive step towards maturity or a negative step away from joy. Thanks to the wisdom loaned us both in ways of Lego and personal satisfaction that Seth Mnookin gave us, and thanks to your own testimony, I think your thing about feeling that thinking about how to construct cars out of Lego does not suggest that you have a real problem with Lego that forces you to get rid of this. These four duffel bags of brick dope that you have up there. If anything, I would say you are radically indecisive. And I would say that your addiction or your, it's too strong a word, your compulsion, if anything, is to the taking on of new hobbies. To the detriment of your happiness, you end up feeling like you didn't complete something. And here is the true sadness. I did not expect you to say, I realized that I would never have the Lego collection I wanted, and therefore I had to get rid of it. You're 33 years old, and I can tell you that when I was 33, that's grown-up time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You are truly an adult fan of Lego. Early 30s is a rough time because you realize, oh yeah, I'm not in my 20s anymore. I'm no longer becoming something in a sparkling way. I'm becoming an adult of some kind. I'm ending up as something. What am I doing with these toys? It was around 33 that I remember going to bed in my studio apartment in New York, watching some awards show. And having been a lifelong lover of film and television, I think it was probably the Golden Globes, and I just saw all these creative people being excited about being in the world that they were in. And I thought to myself, oh, right. That's over for me. If I ever had any fantasies about being in television or film, it's done. I'm 33 now. I'm working on book publishing and magazine writing. That's done. And I thought that I was coming to a very mature conclusion. But as you may know, largely by accident and a certain measure of work on my own, I wrote a book which put me on television. That while I never accepted one of those awards, I did get to go up on stage at the Emmys with Jon Stewart. And I could appreciate in that moment just how much I had misjudged my life and my fatalism in my early 30s. As I think anyone who has grown through their 30s into their 40s, particularly if they've gone through hardship, which I don't claim to have gone through, but I'm, you know, I don't mean to speak for your life, Seth, but you went through addiction and you came out the other side. And I'm sure the idea of a life beyond it seemed rather illusory to you when you were in the midst of it. Is that wrong to say?
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah. And I think that the thing that I could not tolerate in your assessment of your life was not only do I not have the Lego I need to make my dream dystopia now, but I will never have the Lego to complete my dream dystopia. And that's not true. That's not necessarily true. It might be true. I mean, it took a whole lot of weird currents to come together perfectly to, you know, put me on that stage at the Emmys. And guess what? No one's inviting me to the Emmys anymore because I'm not on the show. That's all done now. But I know well enough to say it's not done forever. And I think that you're too young to have that attitude towards life, and certainly too young to trade something that gives you pleasure and was a dream that you were chasing simply to try to take up 3D character modeling or some other new hobby. This is not the time to be giving up. This is the time to be doubling down, locking those bricks together and building it piece by piece. Even if you don't see the outcome that you want or can't see the full shape of the thing you're building yet, doesn't mean you stop building. And so I would say this, I see no reason to throw away what you have worked on so far. I see no psychic benefit to it because it talks about giving up on a dream. And I don't think that's a good place to be in your 30s. And I see no legit benefit to it because those things aren't going to get you a lot of money. If it were worth a fortune, I'd say, forget it, go for it. But they're not going to net you what you want to move forward. And you might end up missing them. So what I'm going to order is that you keep trying and you keep plugging away and you get more money and you make that dreamscape or that nightmarescape. I can't remember which it is. You have to get a post office box in Calgary. And you have...
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to... Oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Give us the address. And with this show, on the show page... we'll release the address for people to send Lego to you. You're going to hang on to those four duffel bags. And we're going to see how much Lego you can get. And get all the Lego you can. And then build the best nightmare post-punk, cyberpunk, Bradbury building, replicant killing dreamscape that you can.
And the address for that post office box is Seth Mnookin, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, 77 Massachusetts Avenue, 02139.
You better well, all right, everyone knows his post office box now. Seth, you got to send him a whole set.
Yeah.
Some old set that you don't want anymore. Send it to him.
Uh-oh.
And that's what you got to do. Not only do you keep this Lego, but you're going to build. And then and only then, once you get this out of your system and you realize dystopias can come true, then you can destroy it all and throw it in a lake. This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules, that is all.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Caleb, how do you feel?
Overwhelmed, confused, happy, elated.
Ryan, how are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling great. I think justice was served here.
Are you looking forward to maybe adding a few flourishes to this weird nightmarescape?
I'm really excited to see this thing evolve. I'm going to insist that I get regular updates seeing this thing evolve, and I'll be contributing myself to this Blade Runner horror show that he is putting together.
Yeah, I wish I could send him my kids' Legos. What a nightmare toy.
Just grab a handful. They'll never know. Canada needs Legos.
That's my baby's position on Legos. I'll just grab a handful. They'll never know. Caleb, Brian, thanks for joining us on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you very much, both of you guys. And let me just say thanks again to our special guest, Seth Mnookin. Nice talking with you.
Likewise. And hopefully we can do another mandolin ukulele duet someday soon.
That's right. We had a little event at MIT. I think it was the day after the election.
Yeah.
It was pretty heavy. Maybe we could all have a good cry again sometime. But in the meantime, where can people follow Seth?
On Twitter, I'm at Seth Mnookin, SethMnookin. And my website, which is has not been very active recently, but my website is also SethMnookin.com.
And your most recent book is The Panic Virus?
Yes.
You have a new one coming out soon?
I'm working on a book about aging that hopefully I will move from the working on to writing and finishing sometime within the next year.
Well, we wish you the very best. Of course, you have tenure, so you can just...
So who cares? Right.
Yeah, that's right. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Judge Hodgman, before we dispense some swift justice, we want to thank Jonathan Reiter for naming this week's episode Duplo Jeopardy. If you'd like to name a future episode, like Judge John Hodgman on Facebook, we regularly put out calls for submissions there. You can follow us on Twitter at Jesse Thorne and at Hodgman. Hashtag your Judge John Hodgman tweets, hashtag JJHO. And you can discuss the episode in the Maximum Fun group on Facebook or on the Maximum Fun subreddit on Reddit, MaximumFun.reddit.com. This week's episode was recorded by Ryan Koichopoulos at The Beach Audio Productions in Calgary, Alberta, and by Joel Hurd at North Country Public Radio in Canton, New York. Our producer is the great Jennifer Marmer. Now, swift justice, where we answer your small disputes with a quick judgment. Christopher says, "My wife and I have an ongoing dispute. Which animal is cooler, penguins or turtles?"
Literally penguins. The end.
Oh, jeez.
But honestly, Jesse, which do you think is a cooler animal, penguin or turtle?
Turtles. I don't think penguins are cool.
Oh.
I like penguins a lot. I think penguins are really neat.
Yeah.
I think they're fun. I think they're cute. But I have a hard time seeing a penguin being cool. Whereas I kind of think turtles are kind of cool. They're not the coolest, but they're cooler than penguins. Penguins are too busy, like...
Yeah, you're right.
...doing doofy things and going... Burp, burp, burp,
I think they're pretty cool because they only fly underwater.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
But which is neat. You're right, neat. But those penguins are always active, whereas the turtles are frequently just chilling. I take it back. You're right.
These are not cool animals. They're cute. They're great.
Right.
Who's cooler, capybaras or otters?
Otters are super cool, man. Come on.
Otters are always doing that thing where they extend their hand to shake your hand, but then when you go to shake their hand, they put it back like they're slicking back their hair.
Yep. They are the masters of the psych out of the rodent world.
Otters can also just hit a jukebox and their favorite song comes on.
Yeah, exactly right. Hey, what was the name of the coolest member of Delta House in Animal House?
I give up.
Otter.
Yeah.
Tim Matheson. Okay.
That's about it.
What, you think it's Boone?
Submit your cases, please.
What, you think it's Amadeus? You think Amadeus is the coolest Delta House brother? He was just a pledge. Go on. Say your things.
MaximumFun.org/JJHO or email Hodgman@MaximumFun.org. No case too small. We'll see you next time on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.